Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to an icy cold edition of Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast where three Hollywood professionals have 1 hour to turn a humble idea into a pitch for an awesome movie or TV show. Due to popular demand, we have the air conditioning on. I'm your host, Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos, and I'm not too cold, not too hot. I am just right, and I'm a screenwriter.
I'm Matt Arnold. I'm getting blown away from this incredible air conditioning. Let me... Hey, everybody. I'm Matt Arnold, cool, cold, comfortable boy, first and foremost. I don't even care what I am after that, because I'm just feeling great right now.
The people have spoken. Well, the person has spoken. The one person who listened to the episode and decided to tweet at us.
We got two comments. Someone else said, turn the AC on. Thank you to both of you, heroes of Story Break, for helping us convince Freddie.
Anyway, this week, we're going to adapt a classic. Any screenwriter worth their salt is at least familiar with this book, I think it's fair to say, right?
Yes.
We are going to attempt the feature film adaptation of... Who wrote it?
Blake Snyder. The late, great Blake Snyder's Save the Cat.
Thank you also to Beth May, friend of the podcast, for suggesting this. Who's going to be on next week. But by the way, if you guys have ideas for us to do, hit us up at RJ Story Break on Twitter. Anyway.
Wait, did he die?
Yeah, he died. He died a couple years ago.
Trying to save a cat.
Oh. No, I think it was a heart attack.
That's very sad.
He was Blake Snyder was a real guru in the screenwriting world. He had a couple of early credits. He worked in TV and stuff like that. His kind of big movie sale was the movie Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Ooh, which was Stallone.
A piping hot spec script back in the late 1980s, but it's a Stallone movie where he's a buddy cop with his mom. There's an interesting side story that I'll tell right now, which is that Stallone and Schwarzenegger had this huge rivalry in the 80s, and they were always trying to fuck around with each other and like try to get the other one to make a bad movie. So Schwarzenegger got the script for Stop or My Mom Will Shoot, and apparently Schwarzenegger hated it and thought it was terrible and that the movie would be a huge flop, but he's like, no, I'm gonna fuck with Sly. So then he announced that he wanted to do this movie, and then Sly Stallone came in and bought it out from under him, and then Sly Stallone got stuck in this movie. So anyway, that's the movie Blake Snyder wrote. which I don't say is any ding on Blake Snyder, because I am a big fan of Save the Cat.
I feel like most people, you're like, oh shit, like I remember I first read Save the Cat. I think I was in high school, and it was like, you know, classic, like, go to the library, like, what's a screenwriting book? And it's the number one thing you'll find, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And then you get, you're like, man, Save the Cat's amazing. And then you get all pretentious, and you're like, Save the Cat. Jacques Tati's films wouldn't fit in Save the Cat. You couldn't possibly make a movie. Save the Cat's reductive. Save the Cat doesn't work at all. And then you get to a point where you're like, then you start using Save the Cat and a million other desperate tools that you use, anything that you can reach out for, like Dan Harmon's Story Circle or Save the Cat. You're like, no, what? Save the Cat's a pretty good tool. No tool is going to write a movie for you. But in terms of like a pretty straightforward and elegant breakdown.
You can't build a whole house with a hammer.
Yeah.
A hammer helps you build a house, though.
But Save the Cat's a pretty good beat. I say a lot of movies I watched recently would probably benefit from like at least following the structure.
So to clarify, Save the Cat is a book that Blake Snyder wrote, wherein he lays out a kind of theory of screenwriting specifically for the format of writing Hollywood films. Like,
yes.
This is specifically for like putting together a 90 minute to 2 hour long feature film story, and he has these different points and he has fun names for them, and it kind of walks you through. Well, I like, if you're a music fan, I would say this is like he lays out a theory for the chord changes of a movie, and then it's up to you to play
probably
them
even
out.
Bigger than that, it's probably like the verse chorus structure.
Yeah, for, it's like a yeah. It's like an overarching structure for how to put a movie together.
Yeah.
Basically, so he lays out this beat sheet. The title comes from what Blake Snyder always said was a move that he liked to see in movies, and you know, he was writing movies back in the 80s and 90s when everything was about gritty anti-heroes and stuff like that. He was like, why don't movies do this anymore? Where Saving the Cat was like as one of his catchy terms for something something your main character does to endear the audience to them.
Yes.
So he's like, you know, like the classic example being like the girl in the rom-com breaking her heel and then dropping her, like, you know, falling over or something like that. Someone did like, I think, a supercut of like all of Katherine Heigl's like first act pratfalls in movies where like she's got to fall over.
Like, I'm just like that person.
They're relatable. But like Save the Cat was like the heroic version of it, where the idea is that in the first 20 minutes of the movie, at some point the main character is going to rush across the street to rescue a cat from getting run over, and we're like, I like that guy, he's selfless, he saved the cat.
I mean, you could literally, in a noir movie, you could have like Clark Gable like smoke 20 cigarettes and like yell at a prostitute and shoot a man on the street and then slap a woman by the aisle and steal a car. You're like, man, this guy's a bad dude. And then like a little cat is like outside and doesn't have any milk and he puts the milk down. You're like, oh man, no, Clark Gable, I totally forgive you for all the other horrible shit you did. I'm gonna watch this movie. So that's essentially what that moment means.
Yeah, so the book is full full of great little phrases.
Can
like
you,
that
can
for
you
his
make
little...
a little bit of a structure in terms of like, what are some of those examples of like little witty things that, because clearly we're going to need to include as many of these as possible.
So
right?
They're the two that I use to this day. One of my favorites called The Pope in the Pool. And so his explanation of what The Pope in the Pool is he read a movie called The Plot to Kill the Pope. And it was all like an assassination movie. And in the scene where they're briefing the Pope on this assassination attempt, like a really dry, boring expositional scene, nothing's happening other than the Pope's getting the story of the movie explained to him. They put the Pope in a swimming pool. And the Pope is swimming around, like doing his morning laps. And immediately the scene has something that keeps the audience interested through, it's like it's the spoon full of sugar that helps the exposition go down.
Yeah.
So the audience is sitting there wondering, like, so where did he put his vestments? Like, does the Pope usually swim in his little hat? Like, I've never seen the Pope with his shirt off before. And, like, it's a Game of Thrones does this all the time with their sex position scenes where, like, you know, like, Littlefinger is scheming and telling you the boring history of dragons and the mean in the background two topless women are making out, right? Like,
That's the HBO version of Pope in the
that's
Pool.
That's the HBO. Yeah, it's not Save the Cat. It's HBO. he also does another one that I use all the time is his thing. Is like you got to give the character a hook and an eye patch, and so he would always talk about this for like background characters. Like you have someone who shows up for one or two scenes, and you want the audience to remember them, so give them something memorable, like a hook or an eye patch. And so that's something we talk about a lot too, like a side character, like giving them something that sticks, forces your creativity, make you kind of think of something.
The Coen brothers are masters at that.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So obviously these are all metaphorical things, right?
Yeah, like
but so in our feature film adaptation of Save the Cat, do we need to adhere to the literal?
So here's as we dive in here, let me walk through the structure that he lays out.
Yeah.
For essentially, this is his kind of like, this is called the Blake Snyder beat sheet, essentially. And I'm getting this from timstout.wordpress.com/story-structure. Someone did a breakdown of it. And I think this is a really good breakdown. So basically, it's like your movie starts with your opening image, which is a visual that represents the struggle and tone of the story. And it's like a snapshot of the main character. Then you get the setup, which is they basically setting up what the main character's life is and showing what's missing in their life. You get your theme stated moment, which is like where they're like, you can't run away from your problems, Bill.
You know your problem is, Bill.
Yeah.
You know what your problem is. Every time you come to this office, you just don't have your heart in it anymore.
Yeah. It's like if your movie's about a guy who needs to learn to be part of a community, this is the moment where in About a Boy, they have this moment where Hugh Grant's...
He's literally sat down and told what his problem
is
by his
like,
two friends.
Yeah, they're like, no man is an island. And he's like, some men are islands. I'm an island. That's your theme stated moment. From there, you get your catalyst. And the catalyst is the sort of like what we would call the inciting incident. This is the moment where life itself changes. So this is the shark bites somebody on the beach. The relationship with a boy is started in About a Boy.
Yeah.
Like R2-D2 crash lands on Tatooine and comes into Luke Skywalker's life. Everything's starting to change. And now you have the section called what he calls the debate section. And we talk about this a lot when we do our episodes, which is like, oh, the world is changing. Do I want to resist this change or do I want to change and accept the call to this new adventure to fix the problem that's presented itself in my
world?
And
usually it's a debate because it's usually some sort of compromise. Like in About a Boy, it's like he starts taking care of the boy, but it's not have some like pure goodness or goodwill. It's like he's taking this first step into. Mm-hmm. It's like he's not going to be an asshole and let the boy get beat up by bullies.
At the end of this act, you're going to get what's called, he calls the breaking into two or breaking into the second act, which is the character makes a choice and goes on a journey. So like, again, like a lot of times this is like an in or out moment for the character. Like the character could try to stay behind and not do anything, or they make an irreversible decision to go on the adventure. In Pirates of the Caribbean, when Elizabeth Swann gets kidnapped, Will Turner has a choice to just continue being a shitty blacksmith and follow the rules or break the rules, bust Jack Sparrow out and go after her. And then he makes that choice. That's like your break into two. He talks about the B story. The B story for him is often a romance, which is, an expression of the theme, right? So your main character who tries to do it all alone, he has a partner who's like, now, you can't always do it all alone, Dirty Harry or whatever. Now the B story is Dirty Harry getting to know this partner and starting to learn the theme.
Wait,
of the
does
movie.
Dirty Harry ever get a partner?
All the time. About like every movie is Dirty Harry's partner getting killed.
About a Boy meets Rachel Weisz. It's like, this is a woman that if he's gonna get and have a relationship, he's gonna have to not be an island anymore.
Yeah. So from there you get what he calls, and this is one of his terms that I love, is like as the second act starts, you get the promise of the premise, which is this is where the characters are off, the main character's off on their adventure, and you're getting all those fun trailer moments that like, he also calls this the fun and game sequence, that like when you pitch Indiana Jones being like, oh, it's about this treasure hunter who's chasing down a relic and he's fighting Nazis. Like, this is where you finally deliver deliver the goods on that. Like,
it's like all the Ocean's movies is the heist planning and all the cool music montage and like the split screens. And you're like, yeah.
Or if it's like 50 part Shades of this Grey, heist. It's like where you finally get to get the fucking going on.
You get to see a guy shirtless in jeans.
Yeah.
So you got the midpoint. The midpoint is basically the turning point. It's like your find moment in the Dan Harmon story structure where the promise of the premise builds up to this moment where the character either.
Okay.
He describes this as a moment that. Is either where everything is great or everything is awful. It's either a false victory or a false defeat. And that brings you to the bad guys close in section, which is the section where the bad guys close in and people start getting paranoid and turning on each
other. So, Will, I can tell you're more animated about screenplay nerdism than I think I've ever seen you animated about just about anything. And I can tell you love this.
So we should pump the
brakes. But my problem is, let me be the one to pump the brakes here. I don't give a fuck. We got handed this book called Save the Cat. And all I'm hearing is a bunch of theoretical screenplay nonsense. Who's the cat?
There's gonna be a
How's
bunch
it
of Twitter.
Saved?
Okay. There's gonna be a bunch of Twitter be like, dude, I was learning so much from Will and Freddie.
Will
came
needs
in.
To spin off his own podcast without those two yahoos.
I would describe what's going on right now as a real bad guys close in on Will moment that turns into an all is lost moment.
But then Will makes it pass and he keeps describing the
Will,
outline.
Will gets to a dark night of the soul moment, right? Where having lost at his goal of bringing the joy of Save the Cat to millions of people that listen to the Story Break podcast, when his two partners turn on him, now he's in a long dark night of the soul. Why do I do this every day? Why do I put up with these guys?
Is this bit funny or not? I just don't know, but I think it is. I'm going to keep going.
He has an epiphany. He goes, you do this because you love writing, Will, and you love talking about writing. You're going to overcome all obstacles. And so then he breaks into the third act, fresh with the new theme of the episode, integrated into his heart, and then he goes into the finale, and then you have a final image, which is the opposite of the
What's the final image?
The opening image was Will going, let me tell you guys about Save the Cat, and then really... I'm the one who learned about Save the Cat. You all taught me about Save the Cat.
Okay.
So that's the structure.
So it feels like in this version what we got was we were like pitching a movie or talking to some studio exec and they're like, you know what? I think this script needs a little bit more. Have you read Save the Cat? And then all of a sudden he stopped.
And he's like, wait
a second. Why don't we just make a movie called Save the Cat?
So this is what I got from it. In this movie, there is the Pope. In this movie, a character does limp and have an eye patch. I'm seeing also... Eye of the Storm, which to me is like, listen, I'm seeing Animal Shelter and I'm seeing a hurricane's coming.
What is Eye of the Storm?
What are you saying? What is this stuff?
These are all
the terms
glossaries
from
Save the Cat. Yeah.
Okay.
Marlon Brando's in this movie, apparently.
What is Marlon Brando?
Brando, the rebel found in stories of the institutionalized kind. Named for Marlon Brando, the tough guy from the radical who defies the system. Or maybe not. But my point is you need to include some of these things in there. And I like popes. Like, top of my head, all this is this. It's like, a hurricane's coming. There's an animal shelter that only specializes in cute kittens. And, like, the guy's got to save the animal shelter, but, like, the Catholic Church is the bad guys, and they're going to, you know what I mean?
Flood, and a man's got a decision. Mm-hmm. The Pope is in a pool.
He's swimming
and
in the
flood.
There's
a bunch of cats in a little cardboard box. Who does he save?
I mean, like John Wick.
Okay. All right, Matt. Going through these. So, again, Blake Snyder has all these brilliant terms in his book. Matt, you got to go through this glossary because there's some terms in here that you're going to want to use, such as sex at 60, which is old-time Hollywood writers often put the first sex scene at page 60 of their normally 120-page scripts, remarkably coinciding with the midpoint.
Yes. Okay, cool. Save the cat.
Is it a cat in an animal shelter? Is it a VIP, a VIK, a very important kitty? You know what I mean? Like maybe it's a presidential cat. It's the first cat. He's the bodyguard. He's the bodyguard. The Secret Service agent assigned to the presidential cat, the first cat.
Oh, the presidents have a cat?
Yeah,
Bill Clinton.
Socks.
Yeah,
was
Socks,
the
Bill presidential
Clinton's
cat. Yeah.
You know that cat saw some shit.
Don't be gross, Matt.
I thought you were saying that like the cat's the only witness to like a murder of the Pope.
Okay. So you're
opening. So it's like Witness. It's like the movie Witness with Harrison Ford, except it's a cat. Instead of an Amish boy, it's a cat.
Because starting with like Sunset Boulevard, but it's like a Pope floating in the pool.
So our opening image is the Pope in the pool, is what you're saying.
Can it actually just be Sunset Boulevard and the Pope is also the narrator?
Do people talk about how the whole record scratch, yep, that's me, you're probably wondering how I got into this situation, literally started with Sunset Boulevard?
I don't think people trace it back to that point. I think people think, when they think about it, they think about like 80s movies.
All right.
Okay.
So let's get back to this cat.
I'm intrigued by the idea of a presidential cat. I'm intrigued by the idea of this cat witnessing a murder, which is like he has like a okay. So it's the president, some unnamed president. He has like a little like the kid keeps like a, you know, those pet GoPros. You know what I'm talking about? Well, then you come save the GoPro.
Okay.
So that you're saying, like, or it's like, again, Men in Black, another classic Save the Cat movie. Mm-hmm. The universe is on Orion's belt.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Imagine the guy who killed the Pope in a pool. The Pope was swimming in a pool, and they just drowned the Pope. And there was a cat. And this guy's a mean person, right? Because he killed the Pope.
I mean,
So
how many peas do you guys think Matt is going to pop in this episode?
So there's this Pope, and he's peeing on a Pope. The Pope peed, and then the Pope gets killed by a guy named Paul.
I was not trying to dare you into it.
And then, anyway, so this guy kills the Pope.
Okay.
And there's a cat, and the cat's like, meow. He's like, I hate cats because I also am mean because I murder people like the Pope. And then he kicks the cat, and he thinks he kicks the cat off the roof. But the cat got claws. Cat hangs on. This cat's hanging on the side of the building. What did he leave behind? A piece of a shoe? Some blood? Something, right? I think there's some evidence.
Oh, you're saying like the cat
collar
has some evidence on it.
And then the guy, the first detective that shows up, the hard-boiled detective, he's like checking out this crime scene. He hears a little meowing and he looks down the side of the building. There's this poor cat hanging on by his claws. He's like, oh, poor little cat. Let me save this cat. He saves the cat. He takes it home and then he realizes the cat's gone.
Could you do...
But the cat's like bit off his finger. And it's like, we have to get to this cat because there's a fingerprint there. And for some reason, the blood in the scene doesn't work DNA.
But here's, I would say this. Mm-hmm. You guys are describing a movie where, like, they don't give a shit about the cat.
That's true, you're
right.
They
give a shit about the DNA on the cat.
Yeah, that's true. It's like, not Save the Cat, it's Save What the Cat
I mean,
ate.
To me, this is almost like I could see doing a whole children's book called Save the Cat, which is like a cat gets up the world's biggest tree, and then they got to try to get that dang cat down. Like, remember the, what was it? There was, like, the raccoon. Like, this took over Twitter for a hot second where there was, like, a raccoon trying to get up a building. Like, imagine, I'm imagining, like, a disaster movie. Or, like, remember that movie Man on Ledge with the guy from Avatar, I think? Man on Ledge was Man on something. Man on a Ledge, yeah.
Man on Ledge.
So, and that was, like, he's on the ledge. And they're like, don't fall off the ledge,
don't
dude. And that was a movie.
Sound
but you
like
do like
movie.
You do like one of those where it's like the whole town. It's like one of it's like oh like the Thai cave rescue or like a little kid trapped in the well. Like there's a cat and it's like everyone loves this cat because this cat's the best cat in the neighborhood. And they got all to come band together to save the cat.
Okay.
The Make Pope is the in the pool when they tell him about the cat, and he's like, "I visited that cat. I love that cat.
I blessed that cat.
I blessed that cat."
Okay, so it's
the Pope is in town to bless the cat at the beginning. What if the Pope has to save the cat?
It's the Pope.
The Pope has to save the cat.
Why would the Pope need to save a cat, though?
Because...
The cat is a saint.
Okay, so I'm trying to think. It's a small town thing where there's a small... It's a cat, and everybody's going to rally around this cat. Okay.
Because I could see you do, like, all right, imagine you're someone... Is there someone who's like, this town sucks. I don't like being here. I'm a teen. This is dumb. And then everyone gets all freaked out about this cat. And then he's like, man, I care about this town at the end. I don't know. He's like, I think I'll stay.
I'm trying to think of what happens when you have those, like, everybody rallies. What's, like, a movie that's like this? That's, like, everybody rallies around a boring thing.
Okay.
I can't remember.
Okay. What about this?
Okay.
All right. There's a kid who wants to be accepted by the town. Right. Or like mm-hmm. wants to be seen as a hero or something like that. And then this cat gets lost. Something happens to the cat. They're like, I'm going to save the cat. Right. And mm-hmm. then everyone loves this cat. If I rescue this cat, like
the town,
everyone will love me.
The town mascot or something.
Yeah.
The high school
then he's
mascot.
On the journey to save the cat.
It's like a fun, like, neo-noir mystery.
And then it's a mystery. Like maybe the cat's gone missing and he's trying to find the cat and he keeps seeing the cat. Right?
Maybe this guy... Okay. In terms of maybe this guy is going to meet... Right? He's going to a small town. And he's going to meet his new fiance's... he's going to meet the in-laws.
I hate you
and
so
much.
And
one of the... And the in-law... The father-in-law has this cat that he
How
loves.
How long until Freddy gets what you're
that,
doing?
That he loves.
Oh, my God. This is going to be...
And then Ben Stiller... We'll use Ben Stiller as this. Will
no,
got
stop.
It right away.
Okay. So, yes. There's... to me, Will, I do see the shape of that. We need to crank down and decide on one of these right now. The other thought is, like, is the cat become, like, this object? You don't want the cat to be an object, it sounds
like. I feel like it's got to be the cat, right? Because to me, like, the theme of this movie is, like, what's a cat?
The only
like, Do you know what I mean, though? Like, no, like what makes a cat
the thing
a cat?
That, but
like,
the thing
why
that,
is this cat important? And it's important because the cat spreads love and joy to all the world. And if the kid had just been more like the cat and focused on being nice to his grandma instead of trying to save this cat,
opening,
you'd have a movie.
Okay, opening image. Kid wakes up. It's like 16 candles. He's like, oh, it's my special day. It's like my first day of soccer practice. I can't wait for my parents to...
My first day of soccer practice.
Wait for my parents to talk to me. He comes downstairs, and what do they have? His little sister has a new cat, and everybody's loving the cat. He's like, oh, man, everybody loves this cat. I hate cats. And then that's the setup. And then the theme stated is the kid's like, what's even a cat?
What is a cat?
Why are you guys all paying attention to this cat? Pay attention to me. I'm the cool kid of the family. You guys should all care about what I'm doing. What is a cat? And the catalyst is he's punished, he's told to go out, you know, put the cat outside and feed the cat or something, and he loses the cat.
Maybe he leaves the cat
on purpose.
Yeah.
He has a debate.
It's like jealousy. Yeah. It's like mom's really into this cat, not into
me anymore.
Weird.
Or okay, although again, I'm always like, do you do that he does this bad thing and then he's gotta like go rectify it? Or do you do the cat gets lost and he's like, here's my opportunity to finally be the hero I wanna be?
Yeah.
Because it's like I don't think you can do both those things, otherwise you have a sociopath.
Yeah, yeah.
On your hands.
No, he's like, exactly. It's like the cat's lost, and then his first response is like, dope, cat's lost.
Yeah, he's like, sweet, finally people are paying attention to me, but no one's paying attention to him because they're all sad about the cat.
And then he goes on the adventure for the wrong reason, which is he wants to go save the cat to be a hero.
Yes.
And at the end, he saves the cat because he loves the cat.
Yeah, well, he learns from the cat.
He learns what's a cat? A cat's your best friend.
Matt's a cat person, by the way, just in case everybody was wondering.
Cats, you have to earn their love, unlike dogs.
Let me throw one left field kind of idea that just popped in my head. What if, I know it's a little late for what-if-isms, but just a thought. What if there's like an old lady in town, and she buys a lottery ticket every week for her and her cat Mittens? And then it's the big, you know, state lottery, whatever. It's hella cash, and her cat wins the lottery.
Nobody says a cat can't buy a lottery ticket. Hold on. It's the woman buys a lottery ticket and then what, puts it in her cat's name?
Yeah.
First of all, I don't think you put your name on a lottery ticket. But so then the cat wins a bunch of money.
I do like the idea that...
But Freddie, someone, they like throw out a lottery ticket without playing it, and then the cat scratches it.
Holy shit. And then legally, this cat has been the one to scratch this ticket.
I would do somebody buys, like, as a cute, like, the, you know, this kid's got a new cat, and the convenience store owner's like... playing the lottery, and they're like, oh, what? I wish my cat could play the lottery. He's like, oh, we'll get your cat a lottery ticket.
How old's your cat?
And they give the lottery 18? Ticket to the cat.
You guys just fucking cracked the backstory of the cat, which is why the cat goes missing in the first place. The cat was stolen, and the guy's like trying to figure out what happened to the cat so he can be the hero or whatever. Then he hears this whisper about how a man with a hook and an eye patch stole the cat, right? And then you do like they catch someone with a hook and an eye patch, and it's like in...
So why doesn't he like the cat?
No, but hold on. Because what I was going to say is you do the original cat's owner, or like someone tried to steal the cat and the cat ran away.
Yeah.
And the reason why I got it is because the guy realized he needs this cat to claim the lotto winnings, right? Because he's like, I'm this cat's owner. This cat won the lottery. Because he's got that, like, and everyone's like, have you seen this cat or whatever? He's like, you know, do you know what I mean? Like, that's why, like, and that guy's like him. It's the dark version of him because he's just selfish because he just wants the reward for getting the cat.
Okay, so there's a stray cat that this town grows to love. Because they found the stray cat because like a girl was stuck in a well and this cat saved a baby at the beginning. The cat saved the baby and meowed and they saw the well and everybody in the town thinks about this heroic stray cat and where did it come from? Well, it came from this abusive asshole who wasn't taking care of his cat and eventually just threw his cat outside.
He blew all his cat food money on lotto tickets.
Yes.
And then he was drunk and he was scratching them and then he was so mad he didn't even scratch one of them.
He made $10 on one of those lotto tickets and the cat scratched it up. He's like, you piece of shit cat. I don't even know why I have you. He threw the cat outside. And then this town loves the cat so much, and this cat just somebody, I think somebody in the town.
Wait, what? I thought the cat won a bunch of money from the lottery.
Yeah, but I wouldn't do it. No, the cat should win a bunch of lottery in the town. It's the classic, it's the drunk, what you were describing.
Let him finish.
Yeah, it's the drunk, it's the angry parent, it's Nashville. It's the person becomes rich and famous, and then the angry parent comes back. So it is this cat, I thought this we were saying, the cat is beloved by the town, and then they love the cat so much that they treat him like a person, and then the town gives him a lottery ticket, and then the cat wins and the town's all excited. Everybody's talking about how his cat won a lottery ticket, and then his original owner's like, that's not your town's cat, that's my cat.
Oh, you know what's fun?
No, I was saying the town loves the cat because the cat's great, right? Like I was saying the backstory of the cat, like the why the cat is like stray, like why the cat gets stolen is that wherever this cat was originally from, it won the lottery, and this guy's trying to get the cat back to get the money.
I like the idea that won the Spanish national state lottery. You familiar with this?
No.
So every year in Spain, they do a countrywide lottery that like everybody participates
in. It's all
people
in the towns can participate,
and like
right?
It's not uncommon for like entire towns to like pool their money to buy like a range of tickets. So it's like the idea that it's like, oh, and as a joke, they bought a ticket for like their like the cat, the town mascot, and the cat, whatever. And that's like where the cat came from. And it's like this overseas cat, which is why the Pope is after it.
All right, here's what I was thinking. Is that you do, so your opening, to use the Blake Snyder Beachy, your setup is you have this kid who wants to be popular and be cool and have a trophy or whatever, and this cat's stealing his thunder, right? Because the cat is super popular for, you know, just because everyone loves this cat. Cat's always, is this lucky cat that's always doing great stuff, right? Like, finds, saving little girls from wells. And
winning lotteries for people.
No. Okay. And he was like, ah, gee golly willikers, I wish I was cool. Why does everyone like that cat more than me? It's just a dumb cat. And everyone's like, this isn't just a dumb cat, but cats spread love around the world, right? That's their job. And he's like, I don't think that cats are dumb. And then the cat goes missing, right? And everyone in town is heartbroken. And they're like, oh, the cat, like, you know, and he's like, oh man, no one, I thought everyone, and then he wakes up being like, great, this fucking cat's finally out of the picture. But like, everyone's going to show up for my football rally and watch me get my trophy. And everyone goes to get the trophy, but they're all sad, right? So he's like, if I'm going to really be a hero, what I got to do is get that cat, and I got to save that cat. Like, and I'm going to be the one who figures it out. So he goes on a journey to save the cat. The mystery he unravels over the course of the second act is this intrigue about the lotto ticket. And the man with the hook in the eye patch, like the fugitive, right, who was chasing the cat down. Then we find out the cat, it was just the original owner of the cat. And then it was actually a different bad guy that stole the cat or whatever. So, like, I was just saying that's your sort of juice in the second act.
Yeah. Alternately, the easier way, if you want to deal with, like, human-cat relations when it comes to the lottery, you could just make it that it's, like, some super rare breed and it's worth, like, millions of dollars. And there's a cat burglar who's trying to get it for some, like, exclusive, you know, reclusive billionaire who wants to own the cat. You know what I mean? Like, there's another way of...
So that was what I was saying. Is then it's like the sort of like the bad guy becomes a mirror of the main character,
right?
Because the main character at the beginning of this thing is only chasing after the cat for selfish reasons, and your bad guy, we find out, is he's like, it's the old, we are much the same, you and I. I may have an eye patch and a hook, but you have a scar on your soul. We'll come up with a hook and an eye patch. I don't want the hook and the eye patch to be the bad guy, because I think actually like playing physical, you know, deformity and like, you know, ableism as like a sort of visual cue for someone being evil is like fucked up, and I think that's bullshit. But like, yes, at some point the villain is the original owner who's abusive to the cat, and the cat ran away, so now he's trying to get the cat back so he can claim the lottery.
Do you see why? Okay,
that was my thought.
Yeah, yeah, I guess. Okay,
I'm willing to entertain your worst idea.
No, because not to be picky, that's what makes sense is that when he's abusive, again, it's like it's more horrific. Even if he's abusive, like I guess, like I want to come back and get the lottery ticket that I won. Yes, he's a shitty abuser, but that's his lottery ticket, so he's gonna go in. It's like, again, Nashville, it's a lot more sinister and gross if it's like this guy was abusive to his cat, got rid of his cat because he's an abusive animal owner, and then his cat becomes rich and famous. He's like, hey, that's my cat, and he takes it because he thinks he's entitled to it and he owns it. And then that feels more like an incident as opposed to just like,
yeah, it's a rare cat breed or something.
Okay, no, okay, can I, all right, X, Y, and Z. Hear about, what about this?
Yeah.
There's an animal shelter in the town. Right, and then maybe it's the kids, but oh wait, this may be a little like our Kangaroo Jack thing. I feel like we do a lot of these.
Okay.
The animal shelter, like the cat lives at the animal shelter and no one's claimed it. And then the cat at the animal shelter scratches the lotto ticket. And it's like, holy shit, this lucky cat that everyone loves just won $1 million. We can take care of so many more cats now, right?
Yes.
And then this story makes the news. And then the next night, there's a break-in and the cat is stolen, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why this guy thinks he's going to be able to take this stolen cat to get the lotto thing, and people aren't going to be like, why wouldn't he just be like, this is my cat?
No, I think it's just you clean it up by just ignoring the lotto stuff. You just make it that they find out it's a rare cat breed that's worth a lot of money. This guy comes, he's the original owner, he wants to pawn it off to someone. And
okay,
then, right? Like, and it's going to be an awful life, and it's like taken, but with a cat.
Okay, let's go one step at a time here. What is our main character and what it's like?
I like the idea of, because you were talking about how he's like, you know, kind of annoyed at the cat or whatever. If you're going to go down that route, I'm reminded by like Claudio with a Chance of Meatballs, how you have that one character who was like the town, like, you know, the baby like mascot and has grown up and is no longer the mascot. But the idea of like a person being important to the town is one direction you could take it, right? Because you're talking about, like, why would he care about this cat getting the center of attention? He's some, like, you know, football player or whatever. But in Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, like, there's a character, like the mayor or whatever, who's, like, was once, like, the baby, like...
Oh, you know what yeah, I mean? Yeah, they yeah, have a whole yeah,
thing,
yeah,
yeah. Okay, there's this guy. Way. They are the... I don't know why I thought Kansas City. But they're the Kansas City Cats is the local school team, and football is really important. And this kid plays the mascot. I think mascot's one of the terms in his fucking glossary or whatever.
And oh, this mascot cat becomes the new mascot.
And then this cat, this abused cat, like, you know, is down a well, and it starts. You could even do the kid, the guy who's the mascot. You start the movie with a save the cat moment. It's like after the football game, he hears a meow and he pulls this cat out, and this cat becomes this big whatever thing. Everybody in the town talks about this cat that was swept away by the river and whatnot. And he's not even seen as a hero for saving it. They don't care that he saved
the cat. It's like Homer and the plutonium rod.
Yeah, it's like save episode, the day, yeah, and yeah. Everybody's just excited about this cat. They're yeah. like, this cat was found in the river. It's like, it wasn't found in the river. I saved the cat. They're like, this beautiful cat was found in the river. It's our new mascot. It looks just like the picture of our school crest.
Yeah.
So now the cat literally becomes the school mascot. Mm-hmm. And this kid, his only place in the world, he's furious now because it was pretty big. He's a pretty cool. Like, he's like that cool mascot you see on YouTube that like does all the backflips and stuff, whatever.
And now no one's watching his YouTube channel.
Nobody's watching his YouTube channel.
A fate worse than death.
So yeah, I mean, in the opening image is this kid soaking up the glory of the crowd in his mascot outfit.
Okay.
The cat. In fact, he takes off the helmet and everybody goes, "Woo, Jeremy," or whatever. He's like, "Yeah, what's up, everybody?
You're cool with the mask on and with it on."
Yeah. And you're setting it up. It's like he's a popular kid. He's a jokester. He's one of those guys. He's not even on the field, but he's still cool. Like, he doesn't have to be a jock. He's got going on or whatever. Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, so he saves a cat.
Yes.
And then this cat steals his popularity.
Yes.
Because the cat was down a well, and then the cat came up with, like, some lost jewel, or, like, the cat was down there saving a little girl.
I like something. That somehow the cat...
it's,
like
it's attached to, like, oh, it's a missing person.
I just like that. It's, like, literally, if their mascot is this, like... in the picture, it's like it's an orange tabby, but like the school has an orange tabby with like a black, like one eye is black, and they pull this cat out. It is like
it's
identical.
Like a pirate. It's a pirate.
Like
cat.
They literally can't get over that this cat looks like. You know, see those Hitler cats look just like Hitler. It's like this cat looks exactly like our mascot
Hitler.
So
our mascot Hitler.
But they're pumped. They're like, hey, we don't need this freaking.
All right, the Hitler High Hitlers are going all the way this year.
You could even do that during his performance. He's getting so fucking amped up at the beginning. Oh, he ruins his mascot outfit saving the cat because he jumps into the river. So he goes to school the next day. He's like, hey, we really need to sew up my mascot outfit. Like, oh, we don't need to do the mascot anymore. We got our new mascot. He's like, what? What's our new mascot? And they pull out the cat. He's like, yeah, dude, everybody loves this fucking cat. It looks just like our mascot. The whole town's crazy.
Okay. All right. I'm digging on this. Okay. This is very good. He's undone. And then, because it's like at the end of the day, like the lesson he's got to learn is like, no, you saving that cat, yeah, that's what makes people like you, right? Yeah. Which is what saving the cat is all about.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like,
yeah. People like you because you saved the cat.
Yeah, that's why people like you, because you're a good dude, because you saved the cat. Not because you won a trophy.
Yeah, let the cat be famous. You're a good dude. Like, yeah. Nobody's like, that cat's a good dude. It's a
cat. The cat can't be a good dude. It's a cat.
You should have been happy.
Why would you want to be a mascot when you can be a man? You'll connect like a man.
You know what your problem is?
Oh.
What?
Oh, yeah. It's like, you know what your problem is? You've been staring at yourself in that mascot outfit so long, you forgot who the real guy inside was.
Yes.
You.
Okay. So that's what his friend that he's drinking, you know, either like it's like that.
He's drinking? He's in high school.
Drinking soda. Mountain Dew, baby.
Mountain Dew.
Just like the Truman Show, you know that scene when they're like sitting on they're like swinging golf clubs, and they're just like talking. So he's talking to his friend. He's like, man, this fucking cat. Everybody's talking about this cat.
When they're swinging golf clubs in Truman Show, is that an example of what you're talking about?
Which?
Oh, that's a theme stated.
No. When they're like to spice up Pope swimming in the pool.
Might be a Pope in the pool
because they're just swinging. It's like, what are they doing? They're playing golf.
Oh no, that scene's got a lot of good stuff going on. Cause it's got dramatic irony because we know that he's lying to him. Like, there's a bunch of stuff.
Oh, there's more.
Everything in Truman Show is really good. So his friend would be like, yeah, he's complaining about this cat. He's like, dude, like a mascot's just the thing you're doing the football season. Like you're a good student. Like, you know, what's your problem? You look at yourself in the mirror so much in that mascot, that's all you see anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, and he's angry at this cat. Okay, so how does the cat
okay,
go
so
missing.
There's a bra- well, because what I like is setting it at a high school is like obviously you're gonna think your first step is the rival high school.
Yeah,
you think the kids at rival high stole it. Freddie is dying.
Sorry, I just like the idea of like to just turn the screws on our main character. Not only does the cat replace him as a mascot, everyone loves him so much that his sweetheart's like, well, actually, I'm going to prom with the cat.
Hey, so I hope you don't mind.
Like the cat wins prom king. He's like, I was going to win prom king.
Well, you know, it's, yeah, because like, look, it would like be great
king.
For
or
social.
Or homecoming king.
It would be great for social media if the cat was homecoming king. And then, like, you know, there's got to be a homecoming queen. I'm already homecoming queen. So, like, I got to go out
with the cat. I kind of got to go out with the cat now.
My cat, this cat stole my girlfriend.
And just every time you cut to the cat, it's just this dispassionate cat who looks right back at the camera.
It's like, I fucking hate cats. Fucking I don't get cats. Why people like this stupid ass cat.
I wish I never. And then he yells at the cat and goes, I wish I never saved you.
The next day, it's gone.
The next day it's gone.
And someone hears him, the school newspaper kids.
Oh, he
like,
should definitely get framed for it.
Oh,
that's
shit.
Why he's clearing up. That's what they all think he did it because he was so vocal about hating this cat.
Yeah.
He's like, how could I hate it? I saved it. They're like, oh my God, that's all you're talking about. You saved the cat. You're an asshole who doesn't like that cat. We know you took it. We know you kidnapped it. He killed it.
Like he's in the school debate with the cat and he yells at the cat. And everyone's like, well, he's lost this debate. He's lost his cool. But then the cat gets stolen. You know what I mean?
It was weird. The people listening over the radio thought he won the debate.
God damn it.
Okay. I love it.
People think he was responsible for the cat going missing. So he's like, fuck this, I'm going to clear my name. It's not about saving the cat. He doesn't give a shit about this cat.
Well, I like
he's
that
literally
he's
like, I hope I find this dead cat's dead body so
well,
I can just all right,
tell everybody. I do want to get this back to, I like the idea that this is about him getting to be the hero.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? So to me, that's a little different than him having to clear his name. I mean, I guess it's like he's trying to get back to that, but like the, we can drill down on
that.
No, I just don't know if you need everyone to hate his guts.
Well, and that's where we're at right now. So let's talk about the catalyst. So.
Okay, so yes. But all right, so to me, there is the cat.
The catalyst.
The cat is clearly stolen. Like someone broke into the school and stole the cat. And maybe, people do think he did it. And he's like, he makes this vow to save the cat. Like, I do think it has to be like, I can be the guy who saves the cat again. And then, like, I will.
How could everybody think I stole the cat? I'm a great guy. It's like, nobody. Don't you understand? Nobody really knows you. We only know the mascot.
Oh.
We only know. See, he hides himself. He wants to pretend to be the. He wants to be the hero, but he doesn't want to put himself out there.
The mascot's a
symbol for his. Again, he just wants to be the cat.
Damn.
Or whatever.
Oh, you know what would be good, too, is you do the security camera footage. Capture, because like after he wrecks the mascot outfit, he throws it out.
And then
there's big muddy mascot sized footprints at the
scene.
And he goes to where he stole the mascot outfit, and the mascot's gone. So someone knew. So then he's trying to,
this is very Brick. So
this is very Yakuza.
Yeah, okay. So
he finds the cat in the empty lot in the Kamurocho district. All right. So this is good, though. So yes, and I like that it's a nice mystery plot. Blake Snyder also has a breakdown of all the genres, one of which is the why done it, not the who done it. Because his thing is like everyone talks about who done it, but like what's really interesting, what really makes a mystery work is not the who, it's the why.
Why? So why did somebody take the cat?
So exactly what we need to find out.
Is somebody really mad at the cat? Would somebody try to frame him? Like he's not it's not like anybody was like begging again, maybe you find out that he himself like overshadowed somebody. Like somebody else used to be like the school mascot and he took the job without thinking about freshman year or whatever. His kid's been a loser since then or something. He finds something ulterior.
All right. Yeah. So anyway, I like that. Okay, see, you've got the popular kid.
Can we pick a name? Since it feels like we got a kid.
Got a kid here. Our school mascot boy, Adam Savory, listener of the podcast. Thank you, Adam.
Damn, I wish we were doing a cooking show, am I right?
Adam Savory. Well, I guess it's got Save in there.
It's Adam Savory. He's savoring the cat. Ugh, weird. Weird. Okay, anyway.
Adam.
All right, Adam. All right, so we got Adam Savory.
And the cat.
Mascot
Eve.
Hero of the Everytown cats, the Kamurocho cats.
Terabithia Tabbies.
Okay.
Hey, Terabithia.
Good bummer story. The girl dies. So, all right. So we have the kid. All right, so yes. Someone breaks into the school and steals the cat, right? And everyone's distraught because this cat is the hero of the town, right? And he's like, good, maybe I can be the fucking mascot again. And they're like, you're suspect number one. You got to go fucking save. You got to go figure out what's going on.
They're like, oh, we decided not to have a mascot. We're just in mourning. We're not having a mascot. And there's going to be no crown granted for us.
They resign from the state finals.
Yeah.
The football team's like, we are not playing in solidarity with our missing cat. Bring Mittens home.
No, what it is he... you're like, good, at least I can be the next, I can be the mascot again. Then you hard cut to the football game, and you're panning up, you're like, oh, where is he? And he's sitting in the stands, and then you see a black banner, or you see the town flag at half mast being carried across, and everybody's crying. He's like, Jesus Christ. And he's looking, he's like, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to save this fucking cat. I'm going to go find out who took this cat.
Yeah.
So I'm a hero.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Okay, so yes. All right, so that is, what step are we on the beat sheet now?
I mean, that's the debate.
That's the debate, yeah, because he's like, sweet, I'm going to be the star again, but everyone's sad, right? Yes. So he's like, all right, this is, I don't feel good about myself when everyone is just paying attention to their own feelings instead of me. So then Adam's like, I got to go figure out what happened to that cat. So now he needs a lead to chase. Yes. And this kid, that's your break into two moment.
Yes.
So among other things, you could do that if they think it's a rival high school, right? Maybe we get rid of that. It's a mascot outfit that stole it, right? No one thinks it's him. There's some clue pointing to another school. So maybe this is like one of those, like, he has to, like, a la Yakuza Zero, cut ties with his school and go undercover at the new school.
That's fun. The idea of, like, him being like, hi, I'm the new kid, not from the rival town. I'm from, you know.
And it's a school where no one knows him, right? Yeah. So, like, in terms of, like, his journey of trying to find self-acceptance, like, he doesn't have the mascot. He doesn't get to be mascot kid anymore. He's got, like, now he's got to be Fedora kid.
So then the B story is he'd find some girl or boy or whoever that he likes.
Yes.
And then he uses that person in order to get what he wants. But then he falls in love with him as it goes on. And then they're like, at the end, they're like, huh, never mind. She was all that.
10 minutes left, guys.
It turns out we were the ones who were all that all along.
Turns out we are all that.
The real all that was the friends we made along the way.
God.
Okay. All right. No, but okay. So rival high school. What's the deal with rival high? Are they not a sports school at all? Maybe they're like the second seeded sports school. And he's pretty convinced someone at this school stole a cat, right?
Yes.
And he thinks maybe it's someone on the other football team. Like, okay, especially because it's like, if you're going to do that, the football team is it's like an Ungbok when the elephant gets stolen, right? Mm-hmm. And then the town, the crops go, you know, like that there's a blight, and now the water is dried up, and he needs to get the thing back for the town, right? So then he goes to the big city, right?
Yeah.
So, like, Marty, what is the contrast between these two schools? Is he, like, at public high, and this is, like, snooty private high? Is he at snooty
private high
and,
feels like.
And this is public high? Like, where are we?
I guess technically it'd be easier to go from snooty private. Though this feels like a small town that would have, like, a public school.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of how he gets into a private school.
I mean,
connections and money mostly.
Yeah,
I mean, it could be the next town over too. Yeah. It doesn't have.
Yeah,
to
it's just
be.
The next town over.
Because
so.
The next town over, it's literally the exact same high school, like the same architect built it. It's just different.
No,
kids.
If you're gonna do the next town over, then you could still do a public school, but they're like in a smaller farm, blue collar working town or whatever.
Well, here, although
do the next town over could be like more well off or whatever.
I don't even know if you necessarily need that because the whole point is that the underworld, the upside down. I mean, literally not from Stranger Things, that Blake Snyder, one of his things is the upside down world.
Yeah.
Is that it is the mirror of the other world. And for this kid, it's just a context where no one knows who he is.
Yes.
Right? So that it's more about him than it is about the school being that different.
I do like that this school that he goes to, if this town, again, he's going to also learn to appreciate what he had before, right? And it's like he didn't have to be like he wasn't popular because he was the mascot. He was popular because this town was wonderful and people loved each other there. Everybody was the mascot to each other. Like he just only saw it to himself. Like everybody loved everybody. Like people liked the quarterback. People were appreciative of the art students or whatever. And he's like, everybody loves me. Like you know, I need to keep this like love going or whatever. But he could go to a town that's like much more ruthless or whatever. And at first, I was like, of course they stole the cat. But he doesn't realize because the reveal would be like he fits right in at this new place. He doesn't fit in the old place. He's like right the bad
selfish
person.
Selfish.
The person who stole the cat would be like, you know what? You fit in here. Like you shouldn't go back to Terabithia. You should stay here and conflict.
Okay. So
hard ass town,
elite rival high, like
elite
it's rival prep.
Rival prep.
All right, so he's from small town.
If I was a high school, physically, I would definitely call myself high, like rival high. Like
Freddy
I was
prep.
Freddy prep. Rival high.
He goes to friendly high, and then he goes to rival, and then he sneaks into rival prep.
Rival prep. Okay, yeah. So rival prep is like
he was the least friendly. He'll realize he was the least friendly person at friendly high. He fits right in that rival prep.
Okay, or whatever. All right. So we've said friendly and rival a whole bunch. All right. So he goes to this new. He's in this new context. He And like he now stands out in this context, right?
Yes.
And like he stands out not for being a quarterback, but for being a nice dude, mm-hmm. right? Again, being the type of person who will go save a cat in the first place,
yeah.
right? Like no one here in this town, like literally he comes to the town and like there's a cat drowning in the lake and he saves it again or something like that. I don't know. All right, so he's undercover at this new high school. Who is his love interest? If we're saying we're gonna do the B story love interest,
it's this person who finds out. It would be a girl who works at an animal shelter, and when she finds out he's trying to save this cat, she's like, oh, you're such a nice person. But she doesn't realize he's just trying to save the cat for selfish ass reasons. So she like is like,
so
oh,
does
you're
she
nice
she knows who he is? Because it feels like you want to do one of those things where he's pretending to be someone else.
At a certain point, but maybe at a certain point he reveals like, hey, I'm here. Okay, what?
I was gonna say mm-hmm. he befriends this girl. He just pretends to be Joe Everyteen, new kid mm-hmm. who wants to volunteer with you in for the school animal rescue project or
yeah.
whatever, right? Like he's trying to spy to get the cat back.
And he just talks about how much he loves saving cats.
Yeah.
She's like, I love saving cats, too. He's like, yeah, you know, like, cats that are strays, cats that are, you know, stuck on roofs, cats that were stolen by quarterbacks from the rival from Friendly High School. You know anything about that cat? She's like, no, not particularly. He's like, okay, well, I guess we could go save those gutter cats for a while. And
okay.
Like, cool.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have 10 minutes, you said?
We have 5 minutes left.
Okay.
Now.
All right. All right. All right. So he's having fun at the new school. This is the promise of the premise, which is, I guess, a kid from one school gets to go to a different school
and try to save
the ultimate fun premise.
And then her dad is the Pope.
Okay, what it would
the
be.
The Pope is
okay,
the swim coach at the school. That's how big a deal this school is.
Just to give something for a premise, is a kid who hates cats, particularly because he's incredibly allergic to cats. Right?
Okay.
I'm just trying to give myself. And then he is stuck in a situation where he's got to save. It would be when he, I don't know, it's going to be when he goes to this town, it's full of cats, and he's allergic all the time. He's just sneezing a bunch.
All right.
I'm sneezing. The cat must be nearby. Thrilling.
It'd be like, you know, he's like, Indiana Jones, like, why did it have to be all right, snakes? All right, he's all right, like, why did it have to be cats?
All right, all right. I don't, okay, putting that aside, because I don't like it. If you were going to do, all right, so you have, all right, so the promise of, he's at this new school, right? And mm-hmm. essentially now he's getting a new chance to be himself in this new identity or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you do some aspect of himself. He actually, like, because to me this would be the thing you would do is that, like, he actually becomes popular again at the new school, right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, because he's, like, this good dude or, you know, like, the they don't know about dancing because it's the town from Footloose and he teaches them how to dance. It's just an inadvertent, as part of the B story, he becomes more popular. The, mm-hmm. the B story is his relationship with this new town, right? Where, and then you would do your midpoint is essentially like he becomes homecoming king of the new town.
He loses sight of the cat that he was sent to.
And then, maybe it's something where it's like he, like the cat, because he's also trying to figure out who stole the cat. So you need a big plot twist with who actually stole the cat, right?
Yeah.
So we got to figure that out. Like at the very least,
it's the coolest kids at school stole the cat because they have a ritual where they got to steal a mascot from a rival town and sacrifice it. And he has a chance. He has a chance to let the cat be sacrificed and stay cool at his new town, or save the cat. You get a little cult ritual. I'm just trying to make it more exciting. This kid goes to another school, so this is probably better than him sneezing.
Okay.
But I'm just saying.
Okay.
But yes. Then so literally he has a choice, and then the ending is you're fucking like you get your you know it's like all those teen movies that turn into like you know like cultish frat
type
stuff.
Okay. Okay.
Will's got
okay,
something.
Okay. Yeah. All right. It's the swim team. He's on the swim team. He's the mascot for the swim team. The cat and the cat. Cats hate water. That's the joke of the swim team thing. Whatever. So you do. It's a Catholic school that he goes to, right?
A Catholic school.
It's just like one of those, maybe like one of those faith-based movies, right? Where he's going to learn that he's like, it's all about him. And it's like, well, you know who else was all about him? Lucifer, right? Like he didn't want to be.
Okay.
Bear with me. He goes to this other school to try to check out like what's going on, right? To try to find the cat. Mm-hmm. He gets seduced by the popularity and all that stuff. Sure enough, the cool clique of friends he finds at this school, they kidnap the cat and they're gonna sacrifice it to please Satan himself to beat his OG town and this one in the upcoming swim meet, right?
Yeah.
He's like, oh no, what have I done? And then meanwhile, he gets found out and the girl who liked him is like, I thought you lied to me. He's like, wait, I can explain. I lied at first, but then blah, 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 or whatever, right? Like that's your kind of
vibe. Then I realized that you're all that. And she's like, well, now that I'm all that, it's not a big deal that you like me.
Okay.
before I was all that.
I was just trying to get this to the end of the movie as the Pope shows up. The Pope is going to be at the swim meet. And then at the end of the movie, they save the cat. And then the Pope is like, cannonball! And then he jumps in the water at the end. That's
the
all
final,
I wanted.
Okay, well, then what I would do is that I would do friendly high is a Catholic high school. And for their homecoming, the Pope shows up. And what you find out is that rival high school is actually going to assassinate the Pope. And part of that is sacrificing a cat from friendly high in order to get the blood of whatever innocent friendly high in order to get the power to assassinate the Pope. So then he's like, look, you can either let this cat die and kill the Pope with us and you'll be cool at rival high school, or go back being a loser at friendly high, but sure, whatever, you save the Pope and the cat.
And then he's got so his Dark Knight of the Soul, literally in the explanation of Dark Knight of the Soul, it says the "Why hast thou forsaken me, Lord" moment.
Yeah.
This got very religious very fast.
I guess it's like a weird anti-secularism thing.
Oh, what it ultimately comes down to is what you would do is at the end, I would actually do at the end, he brings the cat back and he makes the town happy and he takes responsibility for losing the cat. Like, he accepts. He's like, it's not about being popular anymore. He knows. I don't know quite the logistics, but you'd find a way that essentially the only way to save the cat is that he gets everybody to realize, like, he essentially has to take the fall and be like, yeah, I stole the cat, but here it is. I brought it back. And everybody's happy the cat's back.
He stole the cat?
No, I was just, if you could find it right, that would be like the self-sacrificial moment at the end, like the growth moment where, like, the one person that truly matters himself, he cares. He's like, I did the right thing. I don't care if everybody doesn't like me. Like, he would be like, he doesn't care about popularity anymore. So he gives up his popularity in order to save the cat. I don't know quite how the logistics of that would work.
So who stole the cat?
Well, obviously, rival high school.
So, but why do they think
it would just be like...
I don't understand what you're saying.
By the way, rival high school is called Eli Kerf High School, which is an anagram for Lucifer. It's like, who was Eli Kerf? Oh, one of the
I feel like the
founders.
Satanism thing was a weird turn.
Yeah,
I don't probably. Know if they needed to go to Satan High School.
They didn't go to Satan, but I was just saying, you just get to that moment. Where, again, the basic... This is what I was trying... If it starts with, I save this cat... Now the cat's popular. The cat goes missing. I'm going to go find the cat. At the end, like, I like that he has a choice. He can keep. He can get what he wants, which is popularity. He gets what he wants, popularity. The whole rival high school loves him again. But the thing he's going to have to give up is he's going to have to kill the cat that he came to save in the first place. And that's, like, the difficult moment. He loses it. He decides he's going to save the cat. So he's lost everything. And on his return journey back, he essentially should give up what he wanted the most, which is popularity, right? So he would free the cat and he would give it up. And then, you know, maybe the person he cares about the most, like the girl along the way, she's like, you know what, everybody else thinks you stole the cat, but I know you did the right thing. And then they're like, you want to go get some ice cream? And he goes, yeah, let's go get some ice cream. And they go get ice cream.
Okay.
Well, it's like...
He found... Maybe there's something like why the cat was in the well in the first place, right? Mm-hmm. And so he goes to this other school. He discovers that they stole the cat. Why did they steal the cat? Was it to sabotage the football team? Like, that's what... I feel like it's a little unsatisfying if that was the real reason, because that's kind of what he suspects happened, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just trying to rack my brain around this. Did the girl steal the cat?
Yeah, I mean, that would be the way... If you could find a reason that the person who actually did the stealing, if he was like, oh... Like, if I took the, like, I care more.
So, yes, to me, yes, if you were going to, rather than be that the school is, like, Satan worshippers or whatever, you would have to do, like, he finds out that the cat is rightfully belongs to this school, right?
Yeah.
Like, it shouldn't, like, it belongs in a museum, right? Like, this is, like, the cat showed up and, like, they, you know, like, they were using it as the mascot, but, like, the cat really belongs here. It's, like, it's some little girl's cat or something like that,
yeah.
Right?
I don't know. I'm trying to think if like this could go freaking crazy where it's like Shelbyville versus Springfield, where like the towns go to.
Oh, can I? Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. You do. The coach, like his hero back at his high school. This is like some internal affairs shit, right?
Uh-huh.
Like the old mascot or whoever, someone was driving through this other town, mm-hmm. right? And saw this cat and was like, this cat's our next fucking mascot. This cat's going to take my team over the fucking roof, and stole the cat. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But then the heat was on him. So he dumped the cat in a well to just hide the evidence because he was like, he was freaked out and like he was going to get caught. So he ditched the cat. And then our main character found the cat and was like, oh, so the cat's origins have been laundered at this point, right?
Yeah, right.
So our main character found the cat and then the cat, and then the cat becomes the mascot and all that stuff. The cat actually didn't break. The cat wasn't stolen. The cat, there was a wacky series of coincidences. The cat was actually running away trying to get back home. Mm-hmm. And so then he's looking around. He's suspecting someone on the football team. Aha! He sees a picture of the girl who is the cheerleader or is the team manager or whatever. Mm-hmm. She's got a picture of her with a cat that looks suspiciously like the cat that he saw. So he's like, maybe I'll start investigating. He finds out it was her cat originally, and like something happened to the cat. So he finds out that the sins are really the sins of his, like, it was the same sort of selfishness that caused this whole mess in the first place, right? And so, but mm-hmm. now he's in this position where he's found the cat, and he can take it back to his school and be the hero to his school who saved the cat, or he can give the cat to the girl, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, it's one of those.
He gives the cat to the girl.
Yes.
And he comes back to the school, and they're like, what happened to the fucking cat? And then he says...
And he gives a big... Maybe he doesn't know, because it's one of these. Mm-hmm. He gives the cat back to his school, and then he finds out the whole tragic backstory of the cat. Or, like, you have to make the bad choice, right? And then, mm-hmm. like, it's like...
It's a false celebration, your midpoint.
Or he's been skulking around, and then his identity comes out, and it's this whole big thing. And then... Or it's one of these, like, he tells the guy that he found the cat. Right? Mm-hmm. And then the guy comes and takes it. And he's like, oh no, I got to make things right. And so now it's the big climax. It's like the kangaroo movie. The big climax is they're back at the swim meet against the high school that he was just from. The two teams are at their swim meet. They're riding high again because they've got their cat mascot. And he's got to show up and take the cat and explain what's going on and say that this is wrong. This cat belongs to someone else. And blah, 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 blah. And risk the school hating him to do the right thing. And then everyone's mad at him because then they lose the match. And then, but the one girl's like, you know, that's a pretty cool thing you did. And he's like, I'm okay being me. And the ending image is him and the girl, and he's petting the cat as opposed to being in the skin of a cat as a mascot. It's an upside-down reversal at the beginning image.
And it's a euphemism for sex.
This town sounds really shitty that, like, when they find out that this cat belonged to a girl, they're like, but it's our cat. Fuck that. But I guess that's why the eyes really more like entitled shitty high school.
Maybe there's no way of proving it, or like there's...
Well, the end could just be him torching the town and be like, this place sucked anyway. Come on, babe, let's go.
It's a big secret, right? Like, you mm-hmm. gotta do that, like, there's some evidence, like, it would be... Anyway, it's something like that. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? In terms of, I like the dilemma of being that, like, the cat, like, there's the real selfishness would be to bring the cat back to the school and get what he wants, right? And maybe you even do, like, a he does it, and then he's wrestling with the moral implications of that, or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's ultimately the end, is that he doesn't bring the cat back to the school. Bring the cat back would be to save the cat, is really to let the cat go at the end.
If you love something, you let it go.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's what I've heard.
And they can't get just another cat for their mascot for some reason. It's like, get another cat, guys.
One of this cat looks just like Hitler, though.
Listen, where are the...
All right. Well, that's kind of a movie.
It's kind of Save the Cat. Good first act.
All right. Well, that's the thing. And I
but
guess
you know what? Sometimes you only need a first act to make a good trailer.
That's true. So we'll stay tuned. Let's take a listen to the trailer right after this.
Hi, I'm Biz.
And I'm Teresa.
And we host When Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting.
Whether you are a parent or just know kids exist in the world, join us each week as we honestly share what it's like to be a parent.
I'm just going to end with this. Everybody, you're doing a remarkable job of swimming through the shit show that is parenting.
So join us each week as we judge less, laugh more, and remind you that you are doing a great job.
Find us on MaximumFun.org, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, a Story Break movie trailer.
From the mind of the man who brought you Save the Cat Strikes Back and that cop movie Schwarzenegger tricked Stallone into doing.
Oh, hey, cat. What are you doing in that well?
Comes a why done it like you've never seen before.
Meet our new mascot and homecoming king, that cat from the well.
God, I hate that cat. I'll never save it.
Oh my God, the cat's gone missing, and whoever saves it will be a hero.
Well, guess I gotta save that cat.
The Washington Post raves, Save the Cat promises the premise of a kid going from one high school to another high school, and it delivers.
You're gonna need a transfer to Rival High if we're gonna get that cat back.
But I heard there are literally demons that attend there.
Now we scrapped that rumor like a while ago.
The New York Times writes, loved it, especially the sex scene at minute 60. Talk about a midpoint. You know, Adam, sometimes saving the cat means letting it go.
Thanks, mentor/love interest. I've learned a lot from this B story.
And Friendly High wins the swim meet!
friendly hype.
And the Chicago Tribune writes, it's got the charm and sweetness of Kangaroo Tennis and pretty much the same plot.
Thanks for saving the cat, Adam. You're my hero.
And I'm finally okay with the man inside the mascot.
Cunning boy!
Lousy Pope, get out of my pool!
Save the cat. Now on pay per view. Also, this may be a religious movie.
Hey, that trailer it's better than what we came up with. Good job, Cameron.
And good job, Cameron, for calling us out on blatantly ripping off the plot of Kangaroo Tennis,
Is that where we're at now? Are we just at the point where we just...
I feel like we've self-poached a couple of times on this show by now, and I'm all for calling ourselves out on it. So if you were listening along and thinking this movie sounds familiar with its rush to save an animal during a high school sports event ending... Just know we were right there with you.
And you folks were right there with us this week and every week. And as always, good fan art coming our way at the Rocket Jump Story Break Twitter account at RJ Story Break. Will, what you got? By the way, you may notice a conspicuous lack of Matt in this. That's because here's how we're doing it. We're going to explain how we're doing it. We finish the episode. We send the episode to Cameron Covell, the slicer and dicer, the master mix master. And then he comes back with a little script for what our trailer should be.
You're also hearing Cameron's lovely voice. Cameron, a real actor who's been in TV shows and stuff.
And video games.
That's Cameron in there as the voice of Adam in this week's episode.
Cameron was, for those of you Arrested Development fans, on Arrested Development as a little kid.
In the prison warden's play, I believe.
Yeah, he was in the Captain Hook sequence with Michael as a young kid. For those of you Arrested Development fans, that's where you might recognize Cameron's voice from. Anyway, so Matt isn't here. He's dealing with...
Matt's got baby stuff going on, so Freddie and I are wrapping up the end of the episode.
Yeah, and it's so much nicer.
Deadbeat dad, Matt Arnold, leaving us to raise this podcast episode on our own.
Fan art, what we got?
Speaking of fan art, we got two pieces of great fan art this week. One from another one from Andrew J. Young at that one GM on Twitter, who sent us a really fun Blood Bowl poster. Tagline, this ain't your daddy's fantasy football. So thanks for that one, Andrew. And we also got... Someone took Freddie up on their hippo challenge, so Roxanne sent us a drawing of a hippo that is frankly adorable. So thank you, Roxanne. Thank you to Andrew. And thank you to all our fans who listen to Story Break Nation.
God,
all across the world, Story Break fans are tuning in, making themselves heard, and we love you guys.
You know, we got to figure out a better name for our group, and we're going to really need it because this week we finally figured out like how to do social media, and we have a Story Break page on Facebook. I was on Facebook back when it had a the.
Lose the kid.
I was on Facebook back when it had a the. We have a Story Break Twitter. It's at facebook.com/RJStoryBreak. We just put it up. We're gonna be populating this with the fan art, so there's gonna be like one place where you can see it. Of course, full credits and everything to everybody who's submitting stuff. But it turns out that Instagram. I know we teased in Instagram earlier. Instagram sucks. It's very difficult to use if you're on a computer. And we're not phone people. I mean, I'm not a phone person. I use my younger brother's hand-me-down phones.
Posting this episode from his Pentium 3 gateway computer that came in a big Mucow box running Windows 95.
Oh,
that's where Freddie's at.
Anyway, at RJ's, says facebook.com/RJStoryBreak. And that's where our Facebook group is. And we're going to be putting stuff up there and talking to you folks.
We'll also be getting into angry political arguments with all of your distant relatives.
Yeah, go ahead and tell all your relatives with weird political ideas to add us. Matt's really good at handling those, so a service that we provide from this podcast to you. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. Thank you, as always, Cameron Covell, for slicing and dicing these episodes and for Maximum Fun for having us on their excellent podcast network. Head on over to MaximumFun.org. If you're looking for more things to fill your ear holes with aside from this nonsense, they got much better shows with better substance, so I would recommend those highly. So, until next week, we'll see you later out in Storyland. So don't
be
the
guy
that
is named Matt Arnold.
Hey.
Going into a Bullseye interview, I know that it's somebody who does amazing work, but it's an actual conversation, and you know, sometimes it gets real.
No, but my mother, I remember when I got... This is going to become a therapy session very quickly.
Does that make sense? I feel like I'm in therapy.
That was a great interview.
Bullseye. Creators you know, creators you need to know. Find it at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get